Good morning. Welcome to worship in Christ Chapel on this, the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter. We will still be singing some good Easter hymns because we are in this season. A special welcome to our musicians this morning, G Sharp, the men's a cappella group from campus. They are here to sing for us and to help us in our worship experience. We will be celebrating Holy Communion this morning, and here in Christ Chapel, we want you to know that wherever you are in your journey with God, you are welcome to participate in that meal of grace and forgiveness. I invite you to stand and turn towards the back as we begin our service.
Like the disciples who met the risen Christ, hoping for unexpected. We come with our questions and doubts and listen for Christ to appear in our midst, saying, we hear the stories of God's love in the scriptures. We look around at our neighbors and guests and see the power of the risen Christ at work in their lives, offering peace, offering hope, offering courage. The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We live in a time in which the things that have come to be are not yet what they ought to be. O present God, our lives are filled with distractions big and small. We confess that, like the disciples, we are easily scared by the unknown. We are overcome with worry about illness, unemployment, our children, and the world as a whole. In our most vulnerable moments, we demand that you answer us when we call to you. But often we do not listen for you or seek your unexpected, grace-filled presence in our trouble. Be gracious to us and hear the longing found within our prayers. Easter people, whose hope is found in Jesus Christ, let us pray. Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be whole. Make us one with you, living Christ, so that we may sing your praise and serve all whom you love, this day and always. Amen.
The good news from John, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This is the time of year on campus when students have lots of good news. You've been waiting to hear about summer plans and post-graduation plans. You've done your applications and your interviews. You've waited for other people to make big decisions about your future. And you've made some exciting choices. You've got good news. Seniors, you are deciding on graduate schools, jobs, places to live, and service opportunities. Most of that is good news. If you got into most of the graduate schools you applied to, you get to decide where you want to go. If you have multiple job offers, you have the chance to figure out which one will help you launch your career. And if you've applied to YAGM or LVC or Peace Corps, you've probably heard by now which country or city you are going to live in next year, and it's likely a place you've never been to before. Now, if you don't have a job or a program lined up post-graduation, perhaps you are considering where you want to live next year based on a place that will give you opportunities for adventure. You're going to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Los Angeles, Iowa, Argentina, Hungary, and more. You've got good news. And for those of you who are not seniors, you have some good news too. You've been applying for summer jobs and internships, study abroad programs, fellowships and scholarships, and selecting your rooms and roommates. You've submitted your applications and references, done your interviews, and are waiting for or have received good news. You'll be interning at PR firms, congregations, and medical device companies. You'll be working at camps and on campuses, at retailers, and in restaurants. You are planning to study abroad in Malaysia and Sweden and South Africa. You've got good news, a whole lot of good news. However, the reality is that good news is not the only kind of news you've been getting. Some of you are mourning the death of parents or grandparents. Some of you didn't get the job or internship you wanted off campus or weren't selected for the leadership positions you wanted on campus. And some of you are still waiting to hear from people who are making decisions that will impact your life and your future. The reality is that we live in a good news, bad news world. Within the span of a single day, we may receive the exciting news of a job offer and hear the heart-wrenching news that a loved one is ill. In the short period of a week, we may be selected to travel to another country for a semester of learning, and at the same time hear that immigrants living in that country have had their businesses burned and their lives threatened with violence. It is in the context of this good news, bad news world that we wrestle with the words of Psalm 23. Well, Psalm 23 is best known for comforting grieving communities at funerals. It is not actually a psalm about death or even about mourning. It is a psalm that boldly proclaims that God, like a good shepherd and host, keeps us alive. Listen for the ways in which the psalmist believes that God keeps us alive in this translation from the Common English Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full, it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. Now, though I am not as likely to use poetic alliteration in my sermons as Chaplain Brian, this psalm does lend itself to a string of P words. For the psalmist is really speaking of God's providence through provision, protection, and presence. First, provision. Psalm 23 uses two primary images to claim that God is a God who keeps us alive by providing the basic necessities of life. To see this, we must first pretend that we are sheep. As sheep, and not people who have had this psalm's message spiritualized, we would understand that if a shepherd let us rest in grassy meadows, that would mean that we would have food to eat. Grass, in fact, is the main source of sustenance for sheep. And likewise, if we were sheep and a shepherd guided us to restful waters, that would mean that we would have water to drink. And if we were sheep and the shepherd directed us on a proper path, that would mean that we had a safe place to live, shelter from storms, and safety from predators. To reemphasize God's role as provider, the psalm closes with a complementary image, God as host. God sets a table for us so that we have food to eat. God makes our cup so full that it spills over, ensuring that we have more than enough to drink. And God prepares a house for us to dwell in, shelter from the elements and enemies that threaten us as long as we shall live. God provides food, drink, and shelter in order to keep us alive, the psalmist declares. And in a way, this is true. On a basic level, the plants that bear fruit and the lakes and streams that contain our drinking water and the trees and stones that make up most of our shelters exist because of God's creative work in the universe, calling forth life from the chaos of the cosmos. That we have the food, drink, and shelter we need to make our lives possible on this planet is a gift so grand that it moves us to be grateful. Grateful for a God who provides what we need to keep us alive. However, how do we understand the nature of God's provision in this good news, bad news world, where it is clear every single day that some people in our neighborhoods and on our planet do not have enough food to eat, do not have clean water to drink, and do not have a safe place to live? Surely we do not think that God chooses some people to provide for while leaving others to starve. Mustn't it be that a good and faithful God would desire that all people have a place to live? This conundrum presents itself in even greater complexity when we consider the second P word, protection. In between the God as shepherd and God as host stanzas, the psalmist declares, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me." In this good news, bad news world, in what meaningful sense do we really believe that God protects us? God doesn't seem to shield us from cancer or car crashes, rejection or broken relationships, disappointments or natural disasters, violence or victimization. But this middle section of the psalm isn't just about protection. It is also about presence, our third P word. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. It is likely not accidental that an affirmation of God's real presence is at the center of this psalm. For it is ultimately God's presence in the darkest valley that allows the psalmist to let go of his fear. Perhaps what God can protect us from is the fear that invades our minds and bodies when we think that we are alone in the dark valleys of life. Perhaps what God can protect us from is the fear that invades our minds and bodies when we think we are alone in the dark valleys of life. For in this good news, bad news world, God's will to provide for us and protect us is often thwarted by many other things. Greed, sin, natural disasters, distractions, violence, accidents, chemistry, genetics, selfish choices, and most commonly, people like you and me doing the best that we can to make most mundane and difficult decisions every day. And so when seeking to make sense of God's providence, meaning God's power to make things happen in this world, I believe that we are better served by a theology and approach to life that believes that everything that happens, happens for multiple reasons, not for a singular reason. In fact, I would go so far as to encourage you to rid your mouth and mind of the trite phrase, everything happens for a reason. Because what is often implied in that statement is that God is the reason that everything happens. And if you really believe that, you must also believe that God's will and power are behind every bit of bad news as well as every instance of good news. You must accept a God who causes cancer, murders children, attacks women, makes immigrants travel to distant lands, stirs up tsunamis, and fires people from the very jobs they need to provide for their families, along with a God who gives you a comfortable place to live with food to eat, selects you for a study abroad program, puts you in a desirable leadership position, and manipulates things to get you the internship you wanted. Everything, and I mean everything that happens in this good news, bad news world, has multiple causes. God's influence toward provision and protection is a real part of the mix. But it is not the only power at work. Now let's see how this might play out in a simple example, and you could come up with any example from your own life and do this same exercise. Let's say that you applied for a job that you wanted and you didn't get it. What are the multiple things that may have caused that outcome? Perhaps you are one of many great candidates and the hiring manager simply selected someone else. Maybe you didn't perform as well in the interview as one of the other applicants. Perhaps God was guiding you to seek the job and influencing the company to hire you, but there were some gender or racial issues involved in the process. Or maybe it wasn't a job that was in your best interest from a well-being standpoint. Most likely, it was some combination of all these kinds of human and divine causes moving together in a process. But the good news is that even though in this example you didn't get the job, God is still present with you, willing goodness for you and guiding you forward to the next opportunity. And so today, whether you are walking through a dark valley or taking life in from a mountaintop, remember that God is with you. You are not alone, and you need not be overwhelmed with fear about your future. For as the psalmist proclaims, God's goodness and faithful love will pursue you all the days of your life, and you will be in God's presence as long as you shall live. Amen.
After each prayer you will hear, Lord of Love, you are invited to respond by saying, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray. Lord, after celebrating Earth Day this week, Help us to recognize our daily responsibility to the earth. Compel us to confront the greatest challenges facing our environment, to combat climate change and promote sustainability. Remind us of our obligation to pass on a living, healthy earth to future generations of your children. Lord of love. Lord, having held our annual faith conference yesterday, focusing this year on Lutheran convictions and economic justice, we ask you to help us carry the lessons learned into our daily practices. Help us in creating a church community that lies above the competition and greed of the outside world. Instead, guide us in leadership based on the principles of love and service. Lord of love. Lord, as we celebrate Diversity Week on our campus, we thank you for all of the unique, diverse peoples you have created. Encourage us to celebrate the different culture, traditions, and perspectives in our community, and to never let anyone's voice be silenced. Remind us that your call to love our neighbor requires us to respect and appreciate the differences within our world. Lord of love. Lord, we pray for the places in your world marred by chaos and violence. We continue to pray for the hundreds of migrant people lost recently when a boat capsized off the coast of Italy. We pray for peace in the Middle East, especially as civil and international conflict continues in Yemen. We also pray for those affected by the devastating earthquake in Nepal. For these and other struggles, we pray for your guidance. Lord of love. The peace of God is with you all.
It's not against the rules to clap. Beautiful. And if it is, we had confession and forgiveness a few minutes ago, so it's quite all right. Thank you for that. It's beautiful. Please stand as you are able. Please join me in the offering prayer. Life-giving God, may you bless our gifts and let them go forth from us to benefit all your children with wisdom, compassion, and imagination. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times in countless places and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story as it's been told 1,000 times over. We eat the bread and we drink the wine and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. With his friends, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink, this cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and we share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A reminder for our distribution today, our ushers will guide you forward here down the center aisle. There'll be stations on this, my left, and also on my right. We'll commune by intention. You'll receive a piece of bread or gluten-free wafer if you so choose. You'll dip it into the chalice. The purple liquid is wine, and the lighter liquid is grape juice for your choosing. Wherever you are at in your journey with God, all are welcome here at the table. Please come. Please rise. Gracious God, generous Mother of Life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Amen. Just a few brief announcements before we depart this day. A special thank you to all participating in worship this morning, especially thank you, G-Sharp, for a wonderful rendition of Psalm 23 and all of the other gifts that you bring to this worship community. Thank you. And thank you to you all for being here this day. You'll see our daily Sabbath calendar on the top of the back side of your bulletin. A really exciting week. David Lim, who is carrying a cross right now, as a matter of fact, will be speaking tomorrow. Please feel free to come for that, and a wonderful slot this week. And a special attention Wednesday, the May Day Peace Conference, which is here at Gustavus, will be looking at the theme, The War Within, Can the Soldier Be at Peace? Please feel free to come for that. And of course, next Sunday for Sunday morning worship. With that being said, please receive this dismissal. People of God, go in peace and faith, for nothing can separate you from the love and source of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.